Father, we thank you for the joy of meeting together in the name of Christ and with the assurance that we are coming to know his mind through his word. We thank you for the tremendous stability and joy that identification with you, the living God, brings through Jesus Christ our Lord. Help us as we study history to not just be enmeshed with facts and overwhelmed by facts, but to find identity with the God who has revealed himself in the historical process. We pray in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. All right, you see on the front of you that I have pinned the name of the judges up, and I'm going to pin another dealy bob over here that says God in eternity past. I'm going to pin another note over here. It says God in eternity future. If you want to take a note on this, oh brother, if you want to take a note on these events, you could do so. Is that wood? Yeah, it is. I'm stronger than that. I really am. I'm not that sick. Okay. Now we're going to pass out some slips. I want volunteers to take these slips. If you're smart, you'll take one. You're smart, Dory. Come on. Now, I'm telling you, if you're smart, you'll take one. Because it really is.
You're not smart.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. Okay. There you are. Who else wants one? Quick, come on. If you're smart, you'll take one. If you're intelligent. There you are.
I'm not intelligent.
Yeah, you are. Sure you are. You come from Scandinavia. There you are. Who else? Good. Hurry up. Boy, the ones that don't take them, I'm telling you, they're in trouble. Right here in River City. Sure. Hand that to your wife. Here you are. Sure. Here. Come on. All you Sharpies. Here. I'm going to let her take it. Here. All right. Who else? Look, she handed it to her husband. No way. Here we go. Sure. Who else? I can't reach you all the way back. Come on, back here. There we go. Don't want to let Early out here. Here we are. Give that to that intelligent woman sitting beside you. Here. Get this back there. To that smart lady in the middle. Okay, now I'll tell you what we're doing. Now, we assume that, so this is just now for everybody's orientation. If you can't answer these questions correctly, then that's why you're here. You're here to learn. So nobody's going to be embarrassed by this at all if we goof on this. So what we're going to do is we have, I don't know, approximately... maybe 15, 16 events, historical events. Maybe you have a name of an individual, or maybe you have the name of an event or a happening. And we're going to try to get these events in chronological order on the board tonight. In other words, I'm going to ask you for what event you have, and then you're going to tell me. And then the person next to you on your immediate right, they have to tell us where the event goes in relationship to the 12 judges. Does it come before the judges, or does it come after the judges? The person on your immediate left, they have to say if the person's right. They have to say that's right or wrong. All right? Okay. All right. Now that means that if you're first, see, it's real easy because it's only one out of two. See, but as we go down the line, it gets more difficult because we have more events up here. All right, I hope I have enough thumbtacks. I robbed the bulletin board. Let's take any event here. Carl, what do you have there? Saul. Okay, Doc, does it come before After the judges, okay. Nobody on your left, is he right or wrong? No looking at your notes. After, is he correct or not? He is correct, all right, very good. Put that there, all right? Well, I should put it here because I'm going to give you some dates after a while underneath these. Now, if you're smart, you'll take a note on this because I'm coming back at you another time, and I'm going to give you the date and ask for the person or the event. Got it? So, all right, let's, who has another one? Anybody over here? Dory, what do you have there? Oh, man. Miss Lee, does that come before the judges or after the judges? After? Okay, does it come before Saul or after Saul? After? All right. Where does it come in relationship to the events of the Old Testament, Mrs. Lee? 400 silent years. Is it near the end of the Old Testament, near the middle, or near the beginning? Yes, Mrs. Lee, I didn't hear your answer.
I'd say the middle.
The middle. Is that right, Art?
I think it's the period between Malachi and Matthew.
That is exactly right. So that ends the Old Testament event. So that's going to go way over here, right before God's eternity future. Where these events, by the way, are all events of the Old Testament, and we're trying to arrange them chronologically. But I'd like to get somebody over here. Earl, what do you have there? Abraham. All right. That intelligent-looking woman beside you, who obviously makes good choices. Does Abraham come before the judges or after the judges? Yes. Mrs. Hoffer. Yes. Does Abraham come before the judges chronologically or after the judges? Before. Now, see. If you had a choice between 500 grand in this hand and nothing in this hand, you'd have won 500 because you're right. And since there's nothing over here to ask anything further, why we'll just put it up here. All right, we'll put it about right there. Okay. All right. Somebody over here. Peg, do you have one?
No.
Let's take your left instead of your right. Noah, Sandy. Does Noah come before the 12 judges chronologically or after the 12 judges? Before. Does Noah come before Abraham or after Abraham?
No.
Oh, is that right, Mr. Moore? That's for sure. Okay. Comes, whoops, I can't make it. Would you hand it up here, please? Thanks, Roland. Okay. He comes before Abraham. May have to rearrange these after. Whoops. Boy, that's good mahogany. Okay. All right, you have another one back here? Okay, Betty. Nehemiah. Okay, that falls your lot then. After the judges. Okay, does Nehemiah come after Saul or before Saul? He comes before Saul. Okay, is that right, Alan? I mean, Gary. It's after Saul. Okay, so you're fortunate. He happens to be the last figure in the Old Testament before the 400 silent years. Chronology ends with Nehemiah. Okay, what else do we have? Have one over here?
Solomon,
all right. Solomon, okay. Let's since you already answered one, Art, let's go to Claude. After the judges, okay, is it before Saul or after Saul? It is after Saul. Is it before Nehemiah or after him? Before, okay, so he comes then. Here. Now, for those of you who like to teach, and if you want to copy this gimmick, the best thing to do is have a clothesline. Just hang them on with clotheslines. But there's no place to hang them here, and I didn't want to drive nails and Mr. Moore's nice finished work here. He's the one that put all this trim on here. Okay. We have another one over here. Daniel. Mrs. Merriman? Daniel. Does Daniel come before the judges or after the judges? After the judges. You sure? He comes before Nehemiah. Does he come before Solomon? He comes after Solomon. She makes intelligent choices too. All right. Do we have another one over here? Okay, Assyrian captivity. You don't have anybody on your right. Okay, Wayne. Janice. Really? Okay, Janice, if you don't get it, we'll revert it back to Dwayne. Assyrian captivity, does that come before the judges or after the judges? Yeah. After. Means it comes over in this area. Does it come before Saul or after Saul? After Saul, okay. Does it come before Daniel or after Daniel? Syrian captivity. Syrian captivity. Pardon? Before or after Daniel? Before. Boy, we got to get her on a quiz show. She'd clean up. She'd clean up. You are right. Who went into captivity in the Assyrian captivity? No, not Daniel. Israel, the northern 10 tribes, right, 721 B.C., right? Easy to remember because in 721 A.D., pretty sure that's right, yeah, that's when the Battle of Tours was fought. And sure, everybody, and the Battle of Tours saved... Saved Western Europe from being overrun by the Muslims, and Tours was in France, and the battle came up through Spain, and wow, that was a big battle. So that's what you can remember. Joshua, were you holding that, or your wife? Oh no, your wife has another one. Okay, there's nobody to your right, so your wife has to answer where Joshua goes. Okay. Before Judges, right? Okay, does Joshua come before Abraham or after Abraham? After. Okay, so he really comes right before. Okay. Very good. Which one do you have now? Joseph. Yes, sir. Curtis?
Just before the judges.
Before the judges? Is it before Abraham or after Abraham?
After
Abraham. Okay, and it's before Joshua. So Joseph goes right there. There, all right. How many more do we have? David, Rudy? Okay, between Saul and Solomon, right. These are all outstanding events we've tried to choose. I only have two more. No, I got five more, okay. All right, there are some more, yes. Ezra, all right, that... good-looking woman next to you has to answer where Ezra goes. Okay, Ezra comes after the judges. All right, does Ezra come before Saul or after Saul? Before or after? Before. So he has to hang in the middle here. Mr. Hetrick, is that correct? Okay, he comes after Saul. Does he come before Daniel or after Daniel? Roland? Right. There's going to have to be something else go in there. So, where is he in relationship? Well, you said it. There's no way. You got it. Right before Nehemiah, right. In fact, in the Hebrew canon, Nehemiah and Ezra are together. They're one book. All right, how many more we have? Okay, divided kingdom. Oh, excuse me. Does the divided kingdom come before the judges or after the judges? After. Does the divided kingdom come before the Assyrian captivity or after the Assyrian captivity? Is that right? That's right. Yeah, you are right. Right. Because, see, in the Assyrian captivity, the northern 10 tribes go. The northern 10 tribes are the Yankees. And the rebels is Judah. Gee, good exercise. Okay, Exodus. Right? Exodus. Before or after the Judges? Before or after Judges? Before. Before or after Joseph? Before or after Joseph? Exodus. After. Before or after Joshua? Before, right. Very good. Well, he just happened to live beheaded then. It was his parents' fault. Moses, Earl?
Before
Judges. Before the Exodus or after the Exodus? Okay. Right before, right in that period, right. He's in the Exodus, right? But he's born before it, okay? Gee, that's taking longer than what I thought. I was going to have this for fun. How many more do we have? We have one more thumbprint. Four. Five more. I guess I have to have some human beings stand up here and hold these. That'll make it all the more humorous. Okay, Betty had the Babylonian captivity. After the Judges, okay, is it before or after after Daniel? Is it before or after Daniel? Just before. It's really not before he's born. When he is mentioned, it's going on. So we'll put it right before, okay? Because he is mentioned in relationship to that captivity. So we'll have to move him. Okay. What else do we have? We still have some more. Hey, I'll have to take down Isaac. Bob? Isaac. Isaac, is he before the Judges or after the Judges? Okay, he's before. I'll take these two down. I'll have to come first. Okay. Is he before Joshua or after Joshua? Is he before Joseph or after Joseph? See, before Abraham or after Abraham? After. So he is right there. All right. Okay. What else do we have? Jacob. Okay. Jacob is before the Judges. Okay. Is he before Joseph or after Joseph? Is he before Abraham or after Abraham? Before or after? Guess. Right. Is he before Isaac or after Isaac? After. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Father, son, grandson. And I need one more tag. Okay, he goes then right here. All right. Okay. All right, we have just one more. Babel. All right. After Noah. Okay. Right. After Noah. Okay, I'll just take that down in there. Boy, I could have done that with all those. That's stupid. Okay. All right. Let's get some dates. Noah and Babel happened CA circa 10,000 to 7,000 BC. We're guessing. Abraham, 2166 to... No, 1876 is the... I'm trying to get you to help me because I forgot. I think it's 1996. Yeah, he lived 170, right? Right, that's it. Isaac, let's just put circa for him. He's born when Abraham was 100, so he's born in 2066, right? How long did Isaac live? Anybody remember? 100 and... No, I think it's 135, but I don't remember. This is his birth. All right, Jacob. Jacob is born when Isaac's 60, so Jacob is born in 2006 birth, right? Right. Yosef. Well, Yosef is, let's see, how can we figure him out? He's about 31 when Jacob comes down. Jacob's 140 when he goes down to Egypt? No. Well, we'll just put circa 1900, right? Circa 1900 birth. That's not accurate. We'll put circa 1920. That's more accurate. Okay, Moses. Moses is born 1527 B.C. birth. Okay, Exodus, 1446 B.C. Joshua. Joshua. Joshua is involved in his ministry from 1406 to 1389. Circa 1406 to 1389, which we call the conquest. Right? 12 judges, circa 1389 to 1050 B.C. Saul, his reign, very easy to remember, 1050 to 1010. David, reign, next 40 years, 1010 to 970. Solomon, reign, next 40 years, easy to remember, 970 to 930. Divided kingdom. As soon as Saul dies, you have the division. You have a false religion set up in the north, different temple, different priesthood. Runs from 930 to the Babylonian captivity, which starts in what year? 606, right. 606 B.C. Good. Okay. Syrian captivity starts in 721 B.C. And from then on, you have what is falsely taught as the lost 10 tribes. They're not lost at all. God knows right where they are. Babylonian captivity comes in 606, and it lasts till what year? The edict, the decree of Cyrus, 536. 70 years, as prophesied by whom? Who said it would last 70 years? No. No. Ezra wasn't alive yet. Jeremiah. Jeremiah. Daniel. Now, Daniel's a teenager in 606 when he's taken captive. He's a beautiful teenager, very strong doctrinally, refuses to be brainwashed by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian court. And he lives about 90 years. He is still alive when Cyrus takes over. So Daniel is circa 622 to 536, around there, B.C. Right around there. He lives to be a very, very old man. Ezra and Nehemiah, their ministry... Maybe we should just say just a word about their ministry so that you can identify them. Ezra ministry reestablishes worship, temple worship. Okay? Reestablishes temple worship circa 460. You see, Nehemiah rebuilds the walls of Jerusalem that were knocked down by Nebuchadnezzar. Rebuilds walls of Jerusalem circa 440 BC. Okay. Any questions about these? This is simply a little exercise to try to help your frame of reference in terms of the chronology of major events of the Old Testament. Any questions about it? Okay, now I'm going to come back at you sometime. I'm going to put the dates up. I'm going to ask you to name the event or the person that's involved in those, in a spectrum of those dates. Okay? Any questions? Okay, now what I want to do tonight is to show you the book of Judges relative to the old, to the Hebrew canon of Scripture. Everybody's done with this, I assume. So I'll just take these down. We have said that the Old Testament was God's method of revealing himself historically to the nation of Israel. That although the Old Testament is not a history book, it nevertheless contains the history of God's revelation of himself to a chosen people. And in that revelation of himself, he is telling not only Israel who he is, but he is telling the world who he is. So what I want to try to do tonight is to locate the book of Judges, and of course we'll do all of it, in relationship to the Hebrew canon, and try to show you a little bit about that general revelation and how it progressed. This is the Hebrew canon of Scripture. And the Hebrew canon of Scripture was divided three ways by the Hebrews. It was divided into the law and the Torah, the law which is the Torah and the prophets. And the writings. Writings has one T, right? Right. Okay. These are the three divisions of the Old Testament Hebrew canon. Divisions that were Hebrew. The law was called the Torah. The writings were called the Ketubim. Later on, the writings were called in the Septuagint the Hagiographa, and sometimes you'll find that name for it. Well, K-E-T-H-U-B-H, I think it's I-M. Yes, K-E-T-H-U-B-H-I-M, Ketubim. Okay. Now, the law was simply the Pentateuch. The same five books that we have in our Pentateuch. Okay? But the prophets were divided into what are called the former prophets and the latter prophets. Okay? Now it so happens that the book that we are studying was included among the former prophets. The former prophets included Joshua, Judges, First. Well, they didn't have a first. They just called it Samuel and Kings. Okay? And Kings would include, Samuel would include First and Second, what we call First and Second. And Kings would include what we call First and Second, but they just had one title on it. The latter prophets were the ones that you're most familiar with, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the 12, which we call the 12 minor prophets. Make sure I don't leave anybody out. Yeah, that's correct. All right. Now, the writings of the Hebrew canon are come in three divisions. Okay? The writings come in three divisions. First of all, there is what they call the poetical books. Poetic. And they would include then three. Job, Psalms, and Proverbs. Okay. The second division is what is known as the Megaloth. Migilloth, which means rolls or scrolls. And there were five scrolls that were read at various Hebrew feasts. And hence, in the synagogues, they came to be collected into one sort of unit called the rolls or the scrolls or the Megaloth. All right, there were five of those. They were, if I can get them right, they were Ruth. Ruth was read at the Feast of Passover. Okay. I think I can get all five out of my frame of reference, but I don't know if I'll get the feasts right. Yeah. That's what I said. I think I'll get them. Well, put Esther down the bottom. Esther was read at the Feast of Purim. Okay. And there was Lamentations, which was read in memory of the destruction of Jerusalem. Okay. Well, I can't pull the other two out of my frame of reference, so just look at my note. The other one was Ecclesiastes and Ruth. Oh, that's what I said. Ruth? Oh, no, Ruth was not. That's what got me mixed up. The Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. Ruth was read at the Feast of Pentecost. It's the Song of Solomon that is read at the Passover. Okay. And then what one did I leave out? Ecclesiastes, okay? Ecclesiastes. Okay? Anybody remember the feast that's read at? Feast of Tabernacles. Okay? Feast of Tabernacles. All right. You want to remember that these major divisions of the Old Testament, these three, were Hebrew divisions, that is, they were sort of man-made divisions, but Jesus, in referring to the three major divisions of the Old Testament, refers to all three of these in passages of Scripture. In other words, he doesn't act like it's something wrong that they did with it. It was a way of memorizing and learning various aspects of God's revelation of the Old Testament. The last section of the Ketuvim were the historical writings. Okay? Historical, and they were three. I don't know if I can get them all on here. Try. The first one is Chronicles. And Chronicles would be what we call First and Second Chronicles. The second one would be Daniel. And the last one would be Ezra - Nehemiah, which, as we said previously tonight, was one book in the Hebrew canon. It was not divided into two books until about the 15th century A.D. by a Christian. In some of the later versions of the Old Testament, Hebrew Old Testament, they called it the Book of Ezra and Nehemiah. But in some documents, it's just called Ezra. Okay. Are there any questions about this just in general, or anything comes to your mind that maybe I can answer, besides the spelling of Pentecost there, which you probably can't read? Any questions in general about this? All right. Now, what we said was happening in this revelation of God was that there was a progressive explanation of the character of God to these chosen people, and that explanation was to be filtered out and carried out to all peoples of the world. In fact, there were two times, at least in the historical process, that everybody in the world had a knowledge of who God was and what he was doing and how we could identify with him. Well, in trying to analyze some of this, I would say that in the Pentateuch, you have basics. See? These are the basics. In other words, God reveals his character through his names and so on. He reveals his essence. He reveals his righteousness, his attitude toward sin. He reveals the means of identification with himself for sinners, this kind of thing. He establishes his righteousness, or his character. Establishes his character. His righteousness, and so on. He orients people to how they can orient to him in the Pentateuch, so that every time that there is an apostasy after the Pentateuch is written, the prophets or the priests or the people that are speaking from divine viewpoint will always encourage the Israelites who are in apostasy to hark back to the basics. See? Get back to the law. Get back to the Torah. Even when you get all the way down to the end of the Old Testament, the preaching of Ezra in the reestablishing of temple worship is a harking back all the way to the law. Every time. Near the end of the divided kingdom, there is a revival under Josiah. The Bible gets lost in the temple. Nobody knew where it was. And in their shuttling around in the temple, they found the Bible. They found the Old Testament. And they brought it to Josiah, and he had the priests read it to him, and he says, "That's magnificent. Cause all the people to be gathered together and make them hear the word of the Lord." They hadn't heard the word of the Lord for so long, it's pathetic. It sounds like the churches in 1974 in Denver. The Bible was lost within the religious system. Well, again, they hark back to the law and what the law says in their identification with Jehovah. In Nehemiah, which is one of my favorite books, same idea. Always back to the basics. Now, in the rest of these books, you can pick out illustrations galore of a reaffirmation of the various aspects of the essence of God. We have done this, okay? Essentially, the prophets, if we were to delineate this in terms of what they're doing, the prophets, they emphasize God's providence and character in history. In other words, these are not history books. They are not just books that are written so that we necessarily understand the history of the nation. They are written so that we understand the providential identification and explanation of himself in history. For instance, the book of Joshua could be looked... Notice that Joshua is included among the former prophets, as is the book of Judges and Samuel. We call these history books in our Western point of view. But they were considered prophets because they were probably written, or at least completed, by prophets. And the prophets are trying to tell the Israelites something. Well, what did we find last week in the book of Joshua? We find that Joshua is a... I want to get to Judges. That's where I'm supposed to be going. Joshua emphasizes God's faithfulness to his promise. He promised them a land. He promised them a land, and in Joshua they get it. By the time you get to the end of Joshua, they are dividing up the land. They portioned it all out. Now, Judges is going to emphasize something else. Judges emphasizes God's plus R, God's righteousness, man's depravity, and God's mercy. Okay, last week we saw that the book of Judges is a book that delineates at least 12 cycles in Israelitish history, cycles that repeat themselves, like history repeating itself, and we said last week history does not repeat itself. Human beings repeat themselves, hence it looks like history repeats itself. But the cycle would start something like this. There would be a time of deliverance, or we'll call it salvation. Then there would be, Israel would lapse into apostasy, which we will call sin. Then Israel in their sin, and they would go into God would deliver them to one of these heathen tribes in the land of Palestine. And hence there would be then servitude. Always to pagans. Then there would be a crying out to God, supplication. And then at this point, see, salvation through a judge. And we learn that the word shapat, which means judge, the word shapat in Hebrew means to judge right and wrong. Right? Right. Because the situation was so bad in the apostasy that they lost all of their value system, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes, which is incompatible with the government of God. God cannot let that exist. See? Okay. One of his methods of disciplining Israel was then to let one of the various tribes in the land in which they lived to conquer a certain area. In one case, it would be the Philistines. In the other case, it would be the Midianites. In some cases, it's the Midianites plus the Amalekites plus the Amorites. In another case, it's just the Amorites. In another case, it's the Moabites. In another case, it's the dwellers of the Mesopotamia Valley come all the way around and conquer a portion of Israel. Things had gotten so bad that they needed a person to judge right and wrong for them. 40 figures. So what is illustrated, I feel, in the book of Judges in terms of the self-revelation of God is God's righteousness, which includes his justice. You can never separate those two aspects of the divine essence. Man's depravity and then God's merciful dealing with man. Okay, any questions so far?
Ron,
yes.
Where do the apocryphal books fit in with this
chronology? This picture here. This picture here. Yeah, they're introduced in the silent years, but when you talk about the Apocrypha, you have to say which one, the Catholic or the Protestant, because there is a little difference.
My next question really was, how does the Roman Catholic, how do they justify
the canonical? They don't. They can't. You mean how do they? Yeah. Okay. You're asking how they try. They don't justify it because they can't. What he's talking about is some books that were written over here called Apocrypha or Apocryphal books. And slowly these books slipped into the canon. Like pardon? 1st and 2nd Esdras and 1st and 2nd Maccabees, and there's 12 of them that the Protestants lumped together. And in some of the older Bibles, some of the older American Standard Version, 1901 edition, they printed the apocryphal books in a separate section, not to recognize it canon, but to show it was not canonical, but to just so you could have it to read, and they put it in between the Testaments. In the Catholic Bibles, they hook them in, and you don't know it. Bel and the dragon. It's a big myth about a dragon. You read it right in the book of Daniel in the Catholic Bible, and you'd think it was the book of Daniel. See, you think it was part of the book. So it's a little different in their arrangement. Some of them they hook in, some of them they just slip into the Old Testament. See. Now, what was your other question?
Well, I wondered how they tried
it. That's right. How did they try to justify it? It's pretty hard to justify, and I'll tell you one real strong basic reason why it's hard to justify, and that is the Jews never accepted them. No one ever quoted from them. There is no quotation in the New Testament from them. None of the writers quote from them. It's extremely hard to justify, basically on the very issue that the Hebrews never would recognize those as canonical books. They recognize the same Old Testament that we recognize as canonical, and that's historically true. It wasn't just one time or another time. That has a historical continuum. Okay, that's a good question. There are 12 of those. They are full of ambiguities. They are full of. They have historical errors in them. They have a questionable morality in some of them. Now, somebody says, "Well, what about some of the morality of some of the stories in the Bible?" Well, there's some pretty raw things in the Bible, but they're never presented to be anything but what they are. Pretty raw. Always, that's the case. Okay? Any other questions? We can try to answer in that nature.
Ron, yeah. Does the Jewish Bible have them in the same order we do?
No. They'll have them like this. They'll have them just like this. See these five I got here? They're not these five. I've got a couple of those out of order. See, they'll have Passover one first, Pentecost second, Tabernacle third, I think destruction next and Purim last. Yes, they'll have them like that. You look down the end for Daniel.
Why did Christianity change the order?
They changed the order because they, well, I don't know. I don't know. I could guess. Yeah, that's possibly why they did that. They put Lamentations with Jeremiah because he is the same author. Daniel is listed historical even though he's a prophet, and he's called a prophet. He's called a prophet in the New Testament. I'm not sure he's called a prophet in the Old Testament, but he's equated with men who were looked upon as prophets in the Old Testament. The reason they made him historical is because he didn't have the office of the prophet. In a Babylonian court, he was sort of a advisor to the king. He was a statesman. Yeah, he was in the White House, right next to the president. Gave good advice all the time. Could depend on it. And gave it to some pretty powerful figures. Nebuchadnezzar, Darius the Mede, and Cyrus the Great. He lived the witness to every one of them. Tremendous man, Daniel. The reason he is not put in with the prophets is because he did not have the office of the prophet. All of these men here had the office of the prophet. See, Daniel didn't. Kings and Samuel were written by prophets. So they're included up here, even though they're basically historical. So when I assume that when the order was changed, and I don't know the whole history of that, they decided to put together the books that were sort of historical, so that you have sort of a historical continuum up to a point. As per Joshua and Judges and all of these, see, there we call those historical books.
Genesis considered part of the law?
Yes. Yeah. Pentateuch, first five books, same as ours. Basic. Always basic. When you find Jesus and the New Testament writers referring to the law and the prophets, this is what they've got in mind, see. In one place in Luke, Jesus refers to the law and the prophets, and then I think he uses the word Psalms there. It's in the 22nd chapter, I'm pretty sure, but he refers to one of the writings, one of the books of the writings. Now what I want to do, I thought I'd get this all done tonight. I thought I'd cover all three of these tonight. But I'm going to cover these. I'm going to talk about righteousness and justice. Does justice mean that God is going to reward you if you do good? Well, how does that fit with grace, if that's true? We're going to talk about that next week. It's very important that you understand this. And this is all revealed in the Old Testament. Okay, we're going to talk about man's depravity. How bad off is man? Is he as bad off as the supralapsarian Calvinists make him? Or is he worse? How bad is man off in his depravity? We're going to talk about that next week. And the book of Judges, it just beautifully illustrates every one of these principles. So I guess we'll have to wait till then. I didn't know the fun time would take so much. That's the trouble with having fun. It always takes a lot of time. Any questions? Okay. Next week, righteousness and justice and human depravity revealed in the Old Testament. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to meet together. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you have exalted your word above your name, which means your character is at stake if your word is not fulfilled. Father, in these days of apostasy, and rejection of divine viewpoint and of your word blatantly in our seminaries and in our church, in our local churches and by pastors. We pray that believers in Holly Hills will intelligently understand what they believe. We pray, Father, for backbone and character that comes by the ministry of the Holy Spirit that causes believers in this place to verbalize and express what they believe in a very, very kind but firm way. And we pray that you will add to our number people who need this information and need this help and this strength that only your word can give in these very trying days that we live. May we do these things, our Father, not in the sense of pride, but in the sense of the joy and the assurance of our identification with Thee, the strength that Christ gives us, we pray in Christ's name.